The first reading for the Sunday after Ascension Exaudi is from Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations, and gather you from all the countries, and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my just decrees. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. O Lord, have mercy on us. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Jesus promises today that he will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to bear witness about him. He sent also his holy apostles to bear witness. And together with the prophets, they are the church's firm foundation laid down for us in the Holy Scriptures, of which Christ Jesus is the cornerstone. That is, he is the point of it all. The preaching of that word also continues now in the Holy Church, because it is the Spirit's purpose, as Jesus says, to testify to Jesus and to glorify him. That is what we are here for, dear saints. We are here for the testimony concerning Jesus Christ, in whom we find our glory. St. Peter writes in our epistle that the church lives in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. But how easy it is to forget that this church is the creation of Christ's Holy Spirit. Because then we forget that it is the Lord. It is not us who act. And it is his name, not ours, that is to be glorified. In the gospel, Jesus is warning about persecution that will come. The apostles that he spoke to died as martyrs, all of them except for John. And as we are viewed with increasing suspicion in our country, in our time, perhaps the Lord's predictions will have a literal fulfillment among us as well. But in the meantime, what you and I face now must more properly be called a mild inconvenience than a true hardship or a persecution. But don't be deceived. This has its own danger. This is the subtle thing, maybe if not the great thing that we've heard about. Because we are like frogs, boiled in a slowly warmed pot, who die and don't jump out because we don't realize that the water temperature around us is changing. The trouble with a slow decline rather than a vicious, stark persecution is that a slow decline enables us to retain all of our pride. Imprisonment, torture, martyrdom, those things humiliate. They humble the person. The martyrs did not glory in themselves. They were humbled as Christ was, even to the point of death, so that the glory might be his alone. That's because, and because they were not comfortable, but they had to cling instead to the Comforter. They were not carried away with the concerns of this world, as we are. We, for our part, tend to think that this is still our show. Our first concerns as Christian individuals and as congregations together. Our concerns are not to cling to the truth in the face of lies, subtle or great. Not to persevere as salt in a flavorless world, as light in a very dark place. Concern is not to stand out and be set apart, which is what it means to be a holy gathering. No, our concerns drift back to ourselves quickly. We rarely think about outreach until first we've become aware of our bank balance. Because we are motivated mostly by self-preservation. So were the people of Israel back in Ezekiel's day when he preached to them. They had lost their concern for God's glory and his name long ago. They were facing certain destruction from their enemies, exile, the end of their nation and their home and their traditions. And yet they still thought that they could hang on to what they had. They even thought that they could invoke God's name for that cause, to preserve them for all of the reasons that they loved themselves. Well, as Ezekiel and the Lord says, even the dumb Gentiles could see that Israel was giving its God a bad name. Israel thought that the Lord ought to rise up for their sake. So God had to come out and speak it very directly to them. Don't think that it is for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act. I'm going to act for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the Gentiles to which you came. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name when I save you. The same is true of our congregation. We're well aware of the vested interest that we have in it. And that applies to the preachers just as much as to the hearers. We have our fond memories. Maybe we're coming here even to regain some of them on Mother's Day. We have our friends. We have our coffee buddies. We have our comfortable routines. We have our building, all of its decoration. At least one of us has our living from this. And for the sake of these things, we want the Lord to rise up and defend us, vindicate us, preserve us. And likewise, surely these are reasons for us to reach out and try to grow, aren't they? To preserve and vindicate and defend ourselves. Is that not a just cause? How indeed could God not want my church to keep on going? Does he not know how important, how valuable we are? Repent. Join me in repenting. Ezekiel spends even more of the preceding chapters rebuking Israel's faithless shepherds, even than he does rebuking a faithless flock. How often have we viewed God's church and our place here in it as our own? How often have we sought this preservation out of a love of ourselves and our own comfort? How surely we must realize that that effort will come to nothing. It will bear no fruit, choked off by the riches and cares of this life. It is not for the love of our achievement, or our prowess, or our ideas, that God has promised to give His Holy Spirit and preserve His church. It is for the love of His name. He sends the Comforter to testify always to Christ and to glorify Him only. The Lord vindicates His name even when His house of Christians have such a fine way of profaning that name among ourselves and among those around us. Dear saints, let us hear today the rebuke of the Lord by His prophet Ezekiel against ourselves. Abandon the silly notion that the Lord needs us, because He certainly does not. And instead, grow in the love of His name. That is, grow in the love of the truth, which His Spirit of truth testifies to in His holy word. Grow in a love of the gospel in all of its articles. Grow in a love of the Holy Spirit's truth in the prophetic and the apostolic scriptures, which glorify not us, not our church, but Christ Jesus. Because this, in fact, is the Lord's method of congregational revitalization, as it were, as Ezekiel explains. His method is repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He comes and He crushes His own people's idols. He exposes our unworthiness, all so that He may sprinkle sinners clean from all of our uncleannesses and return us to His promise to us in holy baptism, where He said, "You will be My people, because I will be your God." And He takes out our hardened and our stony hearts, and He replaces them with beating, living hearts of flesh, consciences that are clean now through the forgiveness of sins, and thus able to serve not just ourselves constantly, but others for once as well, serving by the strength that God supplies. That is the gospel that we preach and that we hear. The gospel of repentance for the forgiveness of sins for all people in Jesus' name. It is not our acts, it is not our works, it is not our self-preservation that give purpose to our church or to this building or to this gathering. It is the glory of Christ's saving name. He is the one who is at work in this place. He is acting to vindicate His name and to breathe new life into His church by forgiving sinners, by cleansing them, just as He did with Israel. He saves us out of His inexplicable mercy, that in that mercy His name might be known also among others. The simple, the daily life of the baptized, which is dying to ourselves and our sin in repentance, and rising to new life in the forgiveness of sins, that is how the Lord sets about to vindicate His name. He does it in us. He works in us the very thing that the Gentiles, those outside, also desperately need. But He does it by tearing down our sinful pride so that our confidence may no longer be in these things which fail, but our confidence may be in Christ's saving name alone, which does not fail. And if you, dear saints, see that, is the reason for the church's, for our church's existence. Well, then at last you do grasp the Comforter's work. The church is not ours. It is the Holy Spirit's. What keeps the church alive through times of deep persecution, as well as times of deep complacency, is that work of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Everything done in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.